So Christianity is far more than just believing in Jesus. And whether you're in kindergarten all the way on up to the oldest person in our church, which is now no longer someone I mentioned on Wednesday. Sorry, I like the opening line. I already put foot in mouth. But kids, whether kindergarten on up, being a Christian is more than just believing that Jesus is real. Lots of people believe that Jesus was a real person, but they are not Christians. Christians are those who not only believe in Jesus, but they entrust themselves to Jesus. Like even more that you hoped that that chair was going to hold you this morning. I've broken a lot of chairs in this church over the years. Even more than you putting the weight of who you are on that chair and hoping it's going to hold you up, Christians entrust themselves to Jesus even more than that. Not just the weight of their body, but with the weight of their life. Christians are those who have experienced who Jesus is personally for themselves. Not through mom and dad, but for themselves personally. And that experience of Jesus, it changes them, like we sang, from the outside in, and then from the inside out. What changes a Christian is their personal experience of Jesus' grace for themselves. You see, grace is working towards God's best in another person's life at a cost to yourself. So from kids to adults, I want you to think for a moment of maybe one of the nicest things that someone has ever done for you. Can you think about that? You got it in your head? Okay, good. Maybe it was a birthday gift, something you always wanted. Maybe it was a birthday party. Maybe it was a particular vacation or a trip. Because that person loves you, they will gladly pay the cost, the time and the money to give you that present or to throw you that birthday party or to go on that vacation. That is a small example of what grace is like. But this is the difference. You see, God's grace in Jesus is far beyond that. Because here's the thing. Your mom and dad, in one way or another, have to do that for you. Because you're mom and dad. And they love you, right? We typically do things for other people because we love them, and there's something that we may get back. We may get love back from them, and that motivates why we do it. But the crazy, awesome thing is that God is not your mom and dad. God is your God, and he is your creator. And he didn't only create galaxies and planets and basset hounds. He created you. And because of this, when Jesus is gracious to you, it hits differently. It hits more deeply than just mom and dad who threw you a Christmas party or took you on a great spring break vacation. Jesus' grace radically changes a person. And don't be afraid of this word radical. You'll learn it eventually in math. But radical means something that just goes straight deep down to the deepest part of you. Like, I'm not saying all the way down to your feet, literally. But way down in who you are as a person. Now, you can change your hair color, your hairstyle, the music you listen to, the friends you spend time with, where you go to school, where you go to work. But that doesn't really change you from the deepest, downest parts of who you are. And also, someone can't tell you, hey, today, can you just be kinder? And just, you're kind all of a sudden, magically. Like they wove a wand, like Alohomora, and then boom, there it is. But a personal relationship with Jesus over time has the power to change the deepest parts of you if you would open yourself up to a personal relationship with him. See, Christians change by becoming more like Jesus. So many Christians should be able to tell you, I'm not the same person today that I was when I first became a Christian when I was a teenager, when I was in my 20s or my 30s. There have been like five different versions of me over time. And it's not because I changed my hair or lost hair, right? Or gained weight or lost weight. It's because of Jesus' work in my life. One of the beautiful things about a personal relationship with Jesus is that you can know him more deeply than you can know anyone. Because before all of this, Jesus knows you better than anyone, even mom and dad, or even your spouse, or even your kid, vice versa. Knowing Jesus through a personal relationship with him is how you and I experience his grace that changes us from the inside out. And that's what we're going to learn today as we take a look at Zacchaeus and Jesus' interaction with him. So we're going to get to our big idea, our big truth. We call it the proposition. And our proposition today, this is kind of the main idea of what we're getting at today, is that Jesus pursues those who are rejected. And he transforms them by his grace. I try to put this as simply as possible so we could all understand that. Jesus pursues the rejected. And he transforms them from the inside out by his grace. I want you to consider this about Jesus, that he pursues those who are rejected. From students to adults, you need to know this, that Jesus especially loves those who do not feel like they fit into what is normal. Whether that's in your class, or in your family, or even in your marriage, or even at work, in your job, in your profession, Jesus is especially interested in those kinds of people. So if you don't feel like you fit in at home, at school, at work, even in your marriage sometimes, what that means is you are the kind of person that Jesus goes after. Today, you're going to see that Zacchaeus, though he was rich and wealthy and powerful, he was a loner. He was a reject. He was an outcast. People did not like him. And we'll get to that today. But Zac wasn't rejected by Jesus. Not our Zac Land, which we love and adore. Jesus doesn't reject him. Zac wasn't rejected by Jesus. Jesus wanted a personal relationship with Zacchaeus. Jesus wanted to transform Zacchaeus by his grace. So for a moment, can you think about a butterfly? I think at some point we've all learned about a butterfly, right? Do butterflies come into this world automatically, this beautiful, gorgeous monarch butterfly? No. They go through a great metamorphosis, right? They don't end the way they began. They become something greater and better. They start as a caterpillar, right? And the caterpillars are kind of cool. They become something even more beautiful and complex and awesome, right? And once again, you have to remember, if God created all things, why did God create this caterpillar? It's a butterfly. It's to teach you what he wants to do with you who often feels rejected, right? A personal relationship with Jesus is how God takes us as caterpillars and makes us into butterflies. All right, so we're going to go ahead and begin this morning. And we're going to go through these points that I hope will help you understand the text today. And point one, what we're going to see is that Jesus goes after people regardless of what they have done. Now, unlike Jesus, our relationships with people, we would say they are conditional. We tend to be around people if we like the same music, if we like the same video games, if we watch the same TV shows. If you look like me, you talk like me, you're in the same grade, you're the same age as me, whatever it may be. We tend to build a relationship with people on conditions. And that's what Christianity is so cool, because those of you who know me, I am not a hunter. I don't own a gun. I don't really intend to ever. I think I had to shoot a gun once just to be welcomed into my in-law family. That kickback on that shotgun hurts so bad. But I deeply love people who hunt, right? There's not many relationships out there where we come together, not if you must pick up a gun to be my friend, you must go hunting with me to be my friend. But Christianity is like that. A relationship with God in Jesus, what we say, is unconditional. What you think or feel or say or do never changes God's desire for you to know him today in a deeply meaningful way. So we're introduced to a guy named Zacchaeus. I want to short name him to Zac, not to be confused with our Zac Land that we love. Zac's name in his original country and language means pure and innocent, but we're going to see in just a moment that Zac, though his name means pure and innocent, he was not pure, and he was not innocent. He has done bad things, and he has hurt people just like the rest of us. I think we can all head nod and say we have all hurt people, right? We have said and done things that have hurt people. Some of y'all aren't nodding your heads, yes. You know you have. You've hurt me. So, Zach is a chief tax collector. Now, let me tell you what that means. One of our apostles is named Matthew, and he was a tax collector as well. That means that they are employed by the Roman government to collect taxes from one of the countries that they control, which was Israel. Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector, which means he's kind of went up the ladder a little bit. He's a little bit higher than normal tax collectors. The thing you need to know about this community, this Jewish community, is that they loathed tax collectors. They rejected them. And they considered tax collectors to be traitors to their families and traitors to their country. Why? Because tax collectors were known. So if they had to collect, let's just say, $100 from you, they would collect more than $100. They would take the $100, maybe $125 from you. They would give $100 to the government, and then they would keep the $25 for themselves. And it was well known that this is what they did. So what they did is that they grew larger by making their countrymen become smaller. They became rich by making people poorer than what they should be. So Zacchaeus, like our Matthew, would be a social outcast. So Zacchaeus is in a strange position. On one hand, Zac is powerful, he is rich, he is wealthy, but on the other hand, he is lonely, he is a social outcast, and he is rejected. So Zac hears that Jesus is in his city, Jericho, and he wants to see Jesus just like everybody else. Reputation, the news has spread about Jesus teaching and healing and doing some pretty crazy things that people wanted to see with their own eyes. And a little bit later in your life, you're going to wonder, did Jesus ever do the things that I read about? And the answer is yes, because people saw it with their own eyeballs, right? So, there's a problem for Zach. There's a large crowd, and they all want to see Jesus for themselves. And Zach, we come to find out, is short. How short, we don't know. But we know he is so short, he can't, like, see over the crowd when Jesus would walk by, because he just wants to see him for himself. So Zach has a plan. I'm going to climb up a tree, and when Jesus walks by, I'll be able to look down, and I'll have the best seat in the house to see Jesus for myself. That's all he wants to do. But Jesus has other plans. Why? Because he goes after people regardless of what they have done. So as Jesus is walking by, we're going to see this in verse 5. Let's take a look at it. We see that when Jesus came to the place where Zac was, that he just looked up. Can you imagine? And he says this to Zac. He says, Zac, hurry, come down. Today, I'm going to stay at your house. So Jesus looks up at Zac right as he's walking by. He stops, he turns, he looks up, he speaks to Zac, and he says, I am going to stay with you tonight. Now, in the old world, in the ancient world, staying in someone's house, and I think it's still kind of true today when we have people over, this is about intimacy. This means I want to get to know you. I want to get to know you better. I want to have a relationship with you. There are some people you probably have do not ask over, right? Right? Now think about this way. No one in Jericho ever would have asked Zacchaeus over to their house. Do you see that? He's a traitor. He hurts people to help himself. So what this means, and I think this is a little bit more for our adults right now to get this, Christianity, because of Jesus, challenges social attitudes of every culture. Majority or minority views that people have. He challenges them all. Some people may think because Zach takes money from people that he is undeserving. He's undeserving of God. He's undeserving of grace. And we cannot think about that of people who are different from us. It's a good time for this message, right? Now, people may think that Zach is undeserving, and to an extent, we can say, you know what? Zach is right. I mean, they're right about Zach. If you've hurt somebody, you should get a consequence for that. If you've done something wrong, you should be held accountable for that. But this doesn't change the fact that Zach needs Jesus. He needs to know Jesus. Zach, too, I say especially Zach, needs to be changed from the inside out by God's grace. So I want you to see what Zach says to Jesus after Jesus says, hey, I want to stay at your house. It comes from verses 6 and 7. So Zach hurries, he comes down, and this is a key phrase. Zacchaeus received Jesus gladly. But then take a look what happens next. It says when the crowd saw what was happening, they all began to grumble. And here's what they grumbled. He is gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. So Jesus invites Zacchaeus to know him, and he invites himself over. But that makes Zach glad. It brightens Zach's heart. And that's what Jesus does. He brightens our hearts in a way that no one else can. Zach is powerful. Zach is rich, but people don't like him. He's a traitor. He hurts people. So the invitation for Jesus to stay with him would have hit Zach deeper down into his soul. It is an act of grace. Not giving to Zach what he deserves, but giving to Zach what he needs. Grace is what you and I need as well. What Zach needs to know is that God can change him in a powerful way. And once again, I believe that's your greatest need. And still today, this is my greatest need. Zach is now glad, but the crowd grumbles. And I think this is a decision that you need to make today. Which G word you want to define your life? When you think about Jesus and you think about church and you think about serving and giving and doing the things of Christianity, do you want to grumble about it all your days or do you want to be glad about it all your days? Right? And the difference maker is, has a relationship with Jesus brightened your heart? Do you have a relationship with Jesus or not? Because if you do, it's going to make you glad. But if you don't, you're going to grumble at these things. The crowd grumbles. They're angry with Jesus because out of all the people who live in Jericho, let's just say 100,000 people live in Jericho. Is that a big number to you? Kind of? Okay. Out of 100,000 people that Jesus could have chosen, we call this election. Out of those 100,000 people, Jesus chooses Zach, the traitorous tax collector. Why would Jesus do this? To prove the point that he is in the business of going after people that are rejected. See, all kinds of people need God's grace. Even those that you don't like, and even those who are different from you. That's Christianity. God's grace through Jesus radically changes people. And we need to see how Jesus continues to do this with Zach right now. Let's get to our second point. We're going to see in our next couple verses is that Jesus' grace changes people from the inside out through a personal relationship with him. In America, we have this idea. I know you've heard this from in your classrooms all the way on up to our workplaces, that you can change anything about yourself. If you can dream it, you can achieve it, right? But once again, you can change your hair color, your hairstyle, the clothes you wear, the music you listen to, the people you spend time with, what school you go to, where you live, what state, what country you live in, what you do for a living. But Americans go a little bit deeper, and they say you can fundamentally change like all the important stuff about you too, who you really are on the inside and how you were born. But I want to tell you and encourage you that that type of thinking does not work. Because after all of these years, people who believe that, they're still lonely. They are still afraid. They are still hurt. They are still anxious. And they still struggle with the guilt over things they've said and done. And you have to ask, why is this? Why is it they believe and they still have this anxiety about things because they believe ideas about life that are not right. It's like they believe that 1 + 1 = 3. But that's what that means. We cannot fundamentally, to the deepest, downest parts of our being, change ourselves all by ourselves. And that is what makes a relationship with God through Jesus more special than any relationship that you have. As God and as Creator, Jesus alone has the power to change you from the outside in and then from the inside out. So Zach has lived a life hurting people. He gains by hurting people. He becomes rich by keeping people poor. But Christianity is the work where Jesus, who is God and King and Creator, he was rich, he became poor to make us who are spiritually poor, spiritually rich. That's the work of grace that Jesus does in people, and we're going to see this in Zach right now. Let's keep going in verse 8. This is the first thing that we know that Zach says to Jesus after Jesus makes him happy deep down. In verse 8, he says to Jesus, "Half of my possessions I will give to the poor." That's not 10% adults, that's 50. And how close are you to 10% today? 50. "And if I have defrauded anyone, 400 times back." Right? So Jesus and Zach are walking to Zach's house, and somewhere along the walk back to Zach's house, he just stops Jesus and says this to him. And we got to ask, well, this is crazy, right? If you had 10 sheep, you're just going to give 5 away now to the poor? How are you going to take care of yourself? You're going to make the point of your life to help those that you once hurt, and you're not just to give back to them what you took, but 4 times whatever you took. So 4 times why? But this is what we learn. This is what a personal relationship with Jesus is like. This is an example of it. I'm not saying that every single one of us today, we sit down with our financial advisor adults, we figure what our net worth is, and we immediately reduce it by 50% and give it to the poor. Jesus may be telling you to do that because you don't need all that. Your children's children don't need all that. That may be, but not necessarily so. Zach is telling Jesus, "You have made me so happy, I want to use my life differently now." Let's focus right now. Remember, this is a time where we're sitting focusing on Jesus, okay? We're focusing on his word. You got many things to take a look at to help you focus. Zach is saying, "I want to use my money differently now. I want to give half to the poor. I want to give back 4 times to everybody that I've hurt." So we have to ask, Zach has lived probably his entire adult life hurting people to help himself. You may be like one of those people as well. You've lived your life hurting people because you want to help yourself out. Why now, all of a sudden, that Zacchaeus wants to give back and he wants to help instead of hurt? And the answer is, that's what a personal relationship does in your life with Jesus. He changes us from the inside out. That is grace. And Jesus' grace changes people on the deepest level possible. Zach was greedy, selfish, it's about me, 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 to now Zach's like, "Jesus, you mean so much to you, I want to make my life about others." Zach has hurt people, and now he wants to help those that he hurt. And that's what a personal relationship with Jesus does to a person over time. You see, becoming a Christian is a part of like this process of caterpillar to butterfly. It is a complete remodel of who you are as a person. Now, you have to know one of my favorite writers is a man by the name of C.S. Lewis. I hope that caught your attention. This is for the kids. He wrote a beautiful book series called The Chronicles of Narnia. But he also became a Christian later on in his life, and he wrote so many things about Jesus and Christianity, and one of my favorite books is called Mere Christianity. And I wanted to read to you a quote from this. And honestly, this is a little bit more for the adults right now, but please listen, and then you can ask them, what you should be asking your mom and dad, what is Jesus about? They need to tell you because they need to know for themselves personally. So listen to what Lewis says. He says, imagine yourself as a living house. God comes in to rebuild that house. And at first, perhaps, you can understand what he's doing. He's getting the drains right. He's stopping the leaks in the roof and so on. And you know that those jobs needed doing, and you're not surprised. But presently, he starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts abominably and does not seem to make sense. What on earth is he up to? The explanation is he's building quite a different house from the one that you thought of. Throwing out a new wing here, putting on an extra floor there, running up towers and making courtyards. You see, you thought, as a Christian, that you were going to be made just into a decent little cottage, but he's building a palace. And even more, he intends to come and live in it himself. And that's what's going on with Zacchaeus right now with wealth. And for some of you, yes, you need the same message about wealth, literally. But for some of you, it's not wealth. It's other things that you've made the goal of your life. All those things are just a reflection. You want to be about you. The Christian, to help the kids, the Christian is this house. Jesus is the builder. And when you first become a Christian, when you first begin to walk with Jesus, as Zacchaeus walked with Jesus, you realize Jesus is going to change some things, right? In your house, your roof may leak. We've been there before, right? Or a drain isn't working correctly. I had William over yesterday. He fixed something, you know, that was leaking. Thank you, William. Where are you? Thank you. Hi. And you thought, okay, that's it. That's all the Christian life. That's all that Jesus gets. He fixed this. He fixed this. I'm good. But Jesus is like, no, I'm not just here to help make your life a little cuter and Instagrammable. No. I'm here for a complete remodel. You thought Jesus was just going to fix the things you thought was wrong. And then he starts tearing down the walls, and he sees the mice in there, right? He cleans that up. You see, this is what's so special about Zac and Jesus. And I think what's so special about a relationship with him that you can have today. Jesus wants to stay with you. But it's more than just walking with Jesus, literally. Like I can walk with you today out of church. Jesus wants to live inside of you. And you can spend the rest of your lives figuring out what that means. Being a Christian is more than believing in Jesus. Being a Christian is Jesus coming into your house, coming into your life, and just rebuilding it completely from scratch. For Zac, that meant I'm going to use my money differently. And for some of us, it does need to mean you got to use your money differently. But for many of us, it's also there's things we have to consider in addition to money. Because Jesus is rebuilding everything. Why? Because Jesus envisions your life as your creator, because you didn't create yourself, differently than you currently view your life. And you can trust that though Jesus is knocking down walls, and he's causing quite a disturbance. He's a disturber of the peace. That's a reference to Tolkien. He knows what he's doing. And with that, we're going to get to our application. And for us kids, this is what we do. We've heard what Jesus is trying to say to us this morning about our lives. And we try to think through, we're going to walk out of this room in, I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes. And how should we be different? And I think for us today, it's this. We have to find ways to express to people in our lives what Jesus' grace means to us. I think that's what we got to do. Zacchaeus did it. We got to do it. One of the biggest things that a Christian is concerned about is how to express to people what Jesus' grace means to them. So as Christians, they sound like we love Jesus, yet we don't talk to him. We don't ever talk to people about how much we love him. Like, how crazy is that? You love a movie, you tell people about it, right? You had a great dinner, you want to tell people about it, right? You had a great vacation, you want to tell them about it, right? Christians love Jesus. They can't just be quiet about it. True Christians. This is what happened to Zach. A relationship with Jesus meant so much to him, it changed how he saw money and he saw his life and how he hurt people and how he can now express to people what Jesus means to him. So let's see how Jesus reacts right now to Zach. In verse 9, Jesus tells Zach, today salvation has come to your house because you too are a son of Abraham. Now think about this for a moment. They are still on the walk to Zach's house. If you look back, was it verse 5? When Jesus looked up at Zach, he said, hey, today I'm going to stay at your house. He's not there yet. But now he says, salvation has come to his house. What is going on here? Because they're not even home yet. What Jesus is saying to Zacchaeus and to you and to me, your salvation, what makes your life meaningful today, tomorrow, and forever, isn't what you think it presently is. It's not. It's Jesus. Jesus is what makes your life truly meaningful. And then in verse 10, Jesus tells us what salvation means. Jesus says, the Son of Man, that's like a name, like a nickname kind of for himself. He has come to seek and to save the lost. That's why he's here. So salvation is Jesus, God who became man, and he seeks and saves those who are lost. And the question we have to ask is, who's lost? And I hope that the adults in this room will be honest, that before or without Jesus, it's all of us. Since before we met Jesus, or even today, without Jesus in our lives, we're lost. We're lost about life. We're lost about money, we're lost about our time, we're lost about it all. You see, there is no other religion or philosophy that has a God, that features a God who created all things and yet came into his creation not to trick people, not to hurt people, not to abuse people, but to die for them. It's only Christianity that believes this. No other religion or philosophy teaches that the basis of our lives is that we're lost and that there's nothing that we can do about it. We can't meditate, we can't pray, we can't go to church, and all of a sudden, like, we're just fixed because we went to church. No other religion does this. God takes on flesh. Jesus comes to Zach, he comes to you, he comes to me to save us because we too are lost. And that means you can be at 15310 Morrisbridge Road. That's where we are physically right now. You can know where you are physically, but you're lost. Think about Zach again. Zach is lost. He thought that his life was about himself, what he wants to do when he wants to do it. I guess Mama let him think about that. I don't know. But he thinks the point of his life is to gain money by hurting people. That's what Zach thinks before Jesus. He's powerful, he's wealthy. Like, it worked, he's rich. But he's rejected, he's lonely, he's isolated, he's a social reject, he's unhappy deep down. He got life wrong. Now, you and I, before Jesus too, we all think our lives are about something. I just wanna play today. I just wanna eat awesome today, which I do, don't get me wrong. I wanna eat a yummy meal, scrummy meal today. Or life is about what I want. I want to have fun today. I want to go work and earn more money today. Adults struggle with Zacchaeus too. They think life is really about their money. But we are lost about life too. It's not just Zach. It's you and I. But Jesus took on flesh to find us. And that's why we read the 99 sheep and the lost sheep and Jesus finding them to help you realize how much Jesus loves you. That he will leave some people safe and comfortable for a moment to go and find those who realize, I am lost, find me. A personal relationship with Jesus begins when you understand, but not just hear, not just understand, but you can feel that you're lost. And that the point of your life isn't about you or money or fill in the blank, good food, baseball. Until then, you can believe in Jesus, but you're not a Christian. A Christian is not only someone who believes in Jesus, but has experienced what it's like to be lost, to be found, and to be so happy that Jesus found you. Out of all the people that day in Jericho, Jesus pursued Zach. And out of all the people on this planet today, I mean, there's over, what, 7 billion people in the world right now? Probably more than that. And Jesus wants you. And today, I think all of us, we need to collectively think about, wow, this is an amazing truth. I need to walk out. I need to come down the tree differently. I need to walk out of this building differently. We need to make our hearts glad. And we need to find some way to put into action how our hearts are feeling, the way that Jesus loves us. Christians over time, like Zach, we try to find ways to show Jesus to others and what his grace means to them. Yes, Christians use their money differently than they did before they were Christians. Zacchaeus used half of his money to be towards helping people after this. And the question you need to ask yourself today, right now, is this: how does Jesus want me to live differently right now? Because he called me down from the tree and wants to be with me.